The following is a sermon from Haven Heights Baptist Church in Wauseon. At Haven Heights, we believe that faith comes through hearing, and hearing through the word of Christ. As you listen to the sermon, we pray the Lord would use the preaching of his word to point you to Jesus and to strengthen your faith in him. If you're looking for a church home, we'd love for you to join us on Sunday mornings at 10:30 a.m. For more information about our church, go to havenheightsbaptist.org or find us on Facebook. Tell me a story of when you were a child. Like so many times before that, when I was with my grandmother, I'd ask her to tell me a story of her childhood. And she said, well, when I was your age, I went to the county fair, but I only had a nickel. So I bought an ice cream cone, and I ate the top half, and then I gave the bottom half to my sister. I ate to the cone, and then she ate the cone. Being a child, I immediately protested, and I said, Grandma, if the ice cream was only a nickel, why didn't your sister buy her own? And my grandma said, you don't even know. You don't even know what it's like to be poor. And she's right. Just the other night, we took our boys for ice cream, over $4 a scoop, and they picked their own, and they ate their own in its entirety. My grandma was right, no idea what it's like to be truly poor. And here's the thing. If she would have told me of her past, I would never think about the blessings of the present. And I think the same is true for the Christian life. So oftentimes we are oblivious to the blessings we have in Christ. And oftentimes it's only when we look to the past that when we look to the Old Testament, that we see with clarity the riches that are ours in Christ Jesus. Exodus chapter 29, beginning in verse 1. This is what you are to do to them, so that they may serve me as priest. Take a young bull and two rams without defect, and from the finest wheat flour make round loaves without yeast, thick loaves without yeast, and with olive oil mixed in, and thin loaves without yeast, and brushed with olive oil. Put them in a basket and present them alongside with the bull and the two rams. Then bring Aaron and his sons to the entrance to the tent of meeting and wash them with water. Take the garments and dress Aaron with the tunic, the robe of the ephod itself, and the breastplate. Fasten the ephod on him by a skillfully woven waistband. Put the turban on his head and attach his sons and dress them in tunics and fasten caps on them. Then tie sashes on Aaron and his sons. The priesthood will be theirs by a lasting ordinance. Then you shall ordain Aaron and his sons. This morning we're talking about consecration. Consecration, it means to be set apart. For those taking notes, I've simply entitled the message Consecration. And for the sake of understanding, we'll divide this message into three parts. First, the process of their consecration. That's really the main idea of the passage. The entire passage is the process by which these priests were to be set apart. Now, in one sense, this is nothing new. For millennia, God's people have always been set apart, and there's always been a process by which God's people have been set apart. And we are familiar with such processes of our own. Most of us have been to the ordination of a pastor, where a man is consecrated unto ministry. God calls the man, and the church confirms the call, and then the man stands before the church. Well, actually, he usually kneels before the church, and the church prays over him, and he is consecrated to the Lord's ministry. We also have another consecration, and that's what we call church membership. God calls someone to saving faith, and such persons come before the church to confess their faith. And the church confirms in one voice, we understand you to be a Christian. And then the leaders pray over them and they become members and they are consecrated. All throughout the Bible, there's a process of public consecration. And such public consecration has its roots, has its beginning, origin, whatever you want to call it, in Exodus chapter 29. The process of public consecration can be broken down into four parts in this chapter. There's a sacrifice, There's a washing, there's a robing, and then there's an anointing. Consecration always begins with sacrifice. The sacrifice here consisted of one bull and two rams. So verse 10, Aaron and his sons, they laid their hands on the bull, and it's a symbol of transference. It's symbolic. My sins are being transferred from me into the life of the animal. Then the animal was killed, slaughtered. And the animal was killed because Aaron and his son sinned. It was symbolic. That should be me. I should be the one being killed. But God allows the animal to die in my place. Verse 12, the blood was then applied to the altar. And then the carcass of the bull was taken outside the camp, away from the people, and set on fire to be burned complete. So that's the bull, but then we've got two other animals. We have two rams, and ram number one is a burnt offering. And verse 18, it's much the same as the bull. Aaron and his sons lay their hands on the ram, and the sin is transferred from them to the ram. And they take the blood of the ram, and they apply it to the altar. But then this ram is burned on the altar. And remember, the altar is the bronze gate in front of the tabernacle. And this burn offering is for all to see and be aware. God is consuming the animal instead of consuming me. And then we have ram number two. And ram number two is a little bit different. Again, they lay hands on the animal, and again the animal is slaughtered. But then here comes a different part. Verse 20, take some of its blood and apply the blood to the right ear and to the right thumb and the right big toe, and then sprinkle the blood on Aaron and his sons. And then verse 22, take the best part of the ram, the loin area, burn that before the Lord with the choicest bread. But then interestingly enough, don't burn it all, save some of it for later. Now before we get to that later part, after this point in the public process of consecration, the priests were washed. So Aaron and his sons, they stood outside the tabernacle and they're washed head to toe. And it's a picture or a idea that they are now spiritually clean and also actually clean in their life. The washing doesn't actually make them clean, but the washing actually says, well, God's made me clean through the sacrifice. And so now I'm going to live a clean and holy and pure life. So there's the sacrifice, then there's the washing, then there's the robing. Verse 29, put the sacred garments on Aaron and his sons. These are the special clothes. We talked all about these special clothes last week. These special clothes that set them apart from all others. And so on the apron that they wore, they had the names of Israel written on their shoulders, and they had this special breastplate with 12 gemstones, and each gemstone for one of the 12 tribes of Israel. And then a turban with a plaque on the turban that said, Holy is the Lord. And these are the clothes that set them apart from all others. And everyone would say, look at them. They're a priest. Sacrifice, then the washing, then the robing, and now the anointing. Verse 7, pour anointing oil over their heads. Olive oil mixed with perfume and sweet spices. And it was poured over their head, and it trickled down their face and seeped into their clothes. And it's symbolic. God's favor now rests upon you. And they are fully consecrated. Set apart. Now being set apart from others is one thing, but the real grandness here, the great joy is to be set apart into God's presence. Look at verse 31. Take the ram from the ordination, cook the meat in the sacred space, and then eat it. Do you remember ram number two? And remember how with ram number two, they only burned the choicest portion of the meat? They take the rest of the meat and they cook it in God's presence. And then they eat in God's presence. It's a meal with God, lingering fellowship with the divine. That's the goal of consecration. not merely to be set apart from others, but to be set apart to God, to have a lingering fellowship with Him. So that's their process, and their process is really a picture of our consecration. So that's point number two here, second, our picture of consecration. One of the true masterpieces of art is called the Sunday Afternoon on the Island of La Grande Jatte. Most of us don't know that name, but nearly all of us have seen this painting. It's the painting of these people lounging around the river. And the painting is from the late 1800s, and so the men are in the dark suits, and the ladies have the big umbrellas and the hoop dresses, and without a doubt, if you saw it, you would immediately recognize it. Now, what's so impressive about this picture is not so much the scene, but the way in which it's constructed. This painting is made up of all of these little brushstrokes, or actually little dots. And the painting is enormous. It's about 7 feet tall, it's about 10 feet wide, and so when you walk up close to it, you only see the individual dots. But then if you take a step back, you see how these individual dots together form light and shadow and hue and color. And then when you take another step back after that, you see these little dots together form one image. Up close, the dots are small and insignificant, but when you back up, the dots form a masterpiece. This passage is like that. All of these little details in Exodus 29 are but a dot. But if we step back, we see how each detail taken together forms an amazing picture of what Christ has done for us. This passage has all of these details on sacrifice, because consecration always begins with a sacrifice. And our sacrifice is not a bull, but our sacrifice is Jesus. Jesus was crucified, died, and buried for our sins. And do you remember that Jesus was led away to be crucified? And the book of Hebrews makes clear that he was led outside the camp to be crucified. Jesus is the sacrificial bull. He became our sin. And as a sacrificial bull, he was separated from God's presence because God cannot tolerate sin. Before the ram was set on fire, the priest applied the blood of the animal to them to make them holy. Remember how the priest put the blood of the ram on their right ear and their right thumb and their right big toe? And do you remember what the crowd said before Jesus was crucified? They said, "May his blood be on us and on our children. His atoning blood has been poured out so that we might be set apart as holy." Ram number two was partly sacrificed, then partly eaten by the priest. On the night in which he was betrayed, Jesus took bread, and when he'd given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body broken for you. Take, eat." And the only way we are made holy is to take of the body of Christ through faith. Every single detail is but a dot in this amazing image of what Jesus has done for us. And then these priests, they were washed. And not washed to be made clean, but rather washed as a statement, "Look at what God has done for me." And Jesus has made us completely clean. So clean that we can never be made dirty again. He has justified us, made us completely clean forever. And that's what baptism signifies. Baptism is not about cleaning ourselves up. Baptism has nothing to do with the removal of dirt from the body. Baptism is a symbol of the reality that Jesus has made us clean through his sacrifice. And then the priests were robed. The priests were adorned with all of these wonderful clothes. And all the people would have known that they were priests simply by their garments. And they would have said, "Look, he is a priest." And the New Testament tells us to adorn ourselves with Christ. To put on Christ. to put on the new self, to put on the garments that declare to the world, I am set apart for Christ because of what he has done for me. The priest had the sacrifice and the washing and the robing and then the anointing. The oil was poured on them and it was a symbol. They are now consecrated. And in the New Testament, God anoints his own with the Holy Spirit himself. And he has poured out his Holy Spirit, not only upon us, but within us. And the Holy Spirit testifies, we are his and he is ours, sealed in him forever. And then once anointed, the holy priests were invited into God's holy presence to share a meal with him. And God has come to dwell in our hearts through faith, to take up residence not out there, but in here, promising never to leave us nor forsake us. Are you beginning to see it? Are you beginning to see how these dots and details form the image? Let's keep going. Look at verse 35. The process lasted 7 days. 7 times they had to repeat the same process. Lay the hands on the bull, kill the bull, burn the bull. Lay the hands on the ram, kill the lamb, sacrifice the lamb. Lay hands on ram number 2, kill the ram. Then be washed. Then be anointed with oil. And then eat the ram in the presence of God. That's day number 1. Day number 2, do it again. Day number 3, do it again. Again. And again. And again. And again. 7 times again. Why so many times? Why 7 times? Because it's impossible to make the dirty thing a clean thing. I'm sure most of us have mopped a floor a time or two. And the first thing you do is you fill the bucket up with clean water. And you rub the clean water on the dirty floor. And the floor becomes clean and the water becomes dirty. If you were to immediately mop the floor again, if you were to put new clean water in the bucket and mop the clean floor again, the new water would still turn brown. And if you were to repeat the process, say, I don't know, 7 times, the water would get dirty all 7 times. That's the image. The image of 7 is to show that it's impossible to make the dirty thing a clean thing. 7 times to show us that even when the dirty thing is being cleaned, it's still a dirty thing. The Bible wants us to see that to be completely clean is impossible, but with God, all things are possible. And you see, when Jesus cleans us, he actually cleans us. When he cleans us, he cleans us once and for all, justified, made holy forever. And this passage wants us to see that no one can do what Jesus has done for his own. That's the picture. There's no one like Jesus. He has done what no one else can, and it's a masterpiece. And that's exactly what verse 46 says. They will know that I am the Lord their God who brought them out of Egypt so that I might dwell among them. I am the Lord their God. God brought them out of slavery to dwell with them, to be with them, so that others may see the power of God to do the impossible. To take them away from an evil ruler, to be their God, to dwell among them, to clean them up, and to set them apart from all others, to make them his masterpiece. He did all of that for one purpose, so that others may look at what God has done and marvel. That's the point of the book of Exodus. And that's the point of our being of existence. For his own, God has rescued us. And he has come to dwell among us. and even in us. But first he must clean up his own. And he must make us clean so that we might be a picture of God's power unto salvation. It's the point of the book of Exodus. It's the point of our being of existence. To be a masterpiece. That others may marvel at the power of God. And just like any masterpiece, there's always poor imitations. Every masterpiece has poor imitations. Works that try to emulate the style or the technique, but the real thing, they are not. And that brings us to part number three, the poor imitation of consecration. Now remember, the process of consecration lasted 7 days. Again, I think it's well to dwell on this point for 7 days in a row. Kill the bull. Kill the two rams. 7 days in a row, wash yourself. 7 days in a row, be robed. 7 days in a row, be anointed. 7 days in a row, share a meal in the presence of God. And these priests did all of that for 7 days in a row. And now we get to day number 8. And this is what happens on day number 8. Leviticus chapter 10, if you want to turn there in your Bible, you can. The Red Pew Bible, it's page 77. Leviticus chapter 10, day number 8. Aaron's sons, Nadab and Abihu, took their censers, put fire in them, and added incense. And they offered unauthorized fire before the Lord, contrary to his command. So fire came out from the presence of the Lord and consumed them, and they died there before the Lord. 7 days of consecration. And on day number 8, the very next day, their first day on the job, Nadab and Abihu offer strange fire before the Lord. Now, we aren't exactly sure what they did, but the text tells us they added a little incense to their censer. And most likely they thought that the incense would maybe make this small explosion. Now, remember, God set them apart for his work. And God tells them exactly what to do. God says, you're going to do this, and 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 this is how you're going to serve me. But Nadab and Abihu change it up just a little bit. And Nadab and Abihu say, we know everything you said to do, God. Like we get it. We're not stupid. We know what you said to do, but we're going to change it up a little bit. And I don't know. Maybe they thought the explosion would add something unique. Maybe that the poof would somehow add to the glory of God. Or maybe they just said, yeah, I don't think so. That's so much work. We're going to take a little shortcut here. We don't know exactly what they're thinking, but we know this. God said, this is how you're going to serve me. You're going to do this, and then you're going to do this, and you're going to do this, and then you're going to do this. And they said, no. No. We know a better way. And God's anger is incensed. And verse 2, God sent down fire from heaven and burnt them to a crisp. God was angry. And now Aaron's angry. Remember, Aaron is their father. And the Bible doesn't tell us what Aaron said, but based on how Moses responds, we know exactly what Aaron said. Aaron said, what's going on here? What kind of God is this? After setting my sons apart, and after trying to serve him, and being a little inventive, God strikes them dead? How dare he? And Moses responds, Aaron, this is what God said. Among those who approach me, I will be proved holy. in the sight of all the people, I will be honored. Aaron, after 7 days of being consecrated, after 7 days of being set apart, after 7 days of being in the presence of God, how could they? How could they dare take God lightly? Chapter 8 and 9 of Leviticus, when Nadab and Abihu put the rams on the altar to be burnt, they never lit the fire. That was their job, to put the rams on the altar and then light the fire, but they never lit the fire because fire came down from heaven and the fire consumed the ram. And the people of God who are outside the tent, who can't even see this but see the fire come down from heaven, they fall down and they begin to worship. And Nadab and Abihu are inside the tent. And they see the fire come down and consume the ram, a front row seat to the things of God, and then to be told by God, you are set apart for my work. And yet they never take him seriously. It's a phony consecration. Consecrated on the outside, but not on the inside. Supposed men of God simply playing the part. And I hope not, but it dare not go unsaid. I hope that none of us here are just like them. Folks who are playing the part. Folks with a phony consecration. Perhaps people who have seen the miracles of God, seen people get cleaned up, seen people give testimonies of faith through the waters of baptism, maybe even tasted in the Lord's Supper, and yet all the while just playing the part. And I hope not. But if you're simply playing the part, not really taking every detail of the Lord with the seriousness that he demands, look at what happened to Nadab and Abihu. God struck them dead, burnt them to a crisp. And he burnt them to a crisp because there was absolutely nothing more he could do for them. After providing a sacrifice? After washing them? After giving them the robes? After setting them apart? And after all that he has done for them? And for them to say, I don't really believe it. I'm not really going to do that. With there nothing more for God to do for them, he took their lives. I hope God's word is clear to us this morning. It's possible to say the right things, to do the right things, to look like a great person of God, and for it to be nothing more than a poor imitation of true consecration. Church, may our consecration be genuine and true and never phony.
You've been listening to a sermon from Haven Heights Baptist Church in Wauseon. If you're looking for a church home, we invite you to join us. We gather on Sunday mornings at 10:30 a.m. For more information about our church, go to havenheightsbaptist.org or find us on Facebook.